Welcome to Film Study Podcast. We are here to talk about All American episode 605? Trust issues?
Yes, 605.
And boy, did it deliver a fine looking young man. My favorite part of the episode. And anyway, don't forget to like, subscribe, share, rate the podcast 5 stars, all that good stuff. Let us know your thoughts in the comments. You know, as usual, please keep it respectful, though. Last week's mission was the last guest. You know, we just having fun. We just having fun with the pod. Don't come for Kimberly. or me, don't come for anybody or the writers. Let's be chill, talk about our opinions respectfully, all that good stuff. But yeah, let's get into it. So, I mean, you know what I've been doing, grading the episode A, B, C, D. Mm-hmm. If you want to go past D, that's your prerogative. There's also plus and minuses. I forgot to let my last guest know you can add a plus or minus on your grading. But overall thoughts, and then the grading.
I give it a C plus, only because I could have lived without Preach and Grace. And then a little bit of Coop and Laura scenes, because it was like, I feel like Laura has not been the entire season to me, so I was just like, okay.
But you're like, oh, this is new.
Yeah. I was like, but I did enjoy Dion's scene with Spencer, and then Spencer and the football stuff of it all, and then the girl scene in the beginning, and Jordan Layla, obviously, and then Bolivia stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so C plus, that's your grade.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not too far off. I'm at like a B minus. I think people are going to be like, oh, you just rated a B all of the time or in the B range all of the time. But I legitimately think it's because I find specific things that I latch onto that like either extremely raises or extremely lowers the grade for me. And I think what brought it up from like a C plus is, but actually I feel like maybe I'll give it a B actually, because I think that, okay. First of all, we've seen Liv have a friend that's outside of the friend group, and I think that they tried it with Noah and it didn't work with Noah, but I actually really enjoyed Ashley, and I love to look at him as well.
Cyborg, isn't that the dude from like a Netflix show or something?
Is he? He looks like he would be one of those guys. He looks
but
like
I
he
also think he's guys. Martin's like one of Martin's best friends from
That's really cool.
I love that. Homecoming. Yeah, I've seen him before. That's what I was
love
like,
that.
I think so. I've seen him.
That's really cool. So that, and I think as well, one of the big things that I was happy about was that we finally saw somebody telling Coop to calm down and giving Coop back, I think, what she usually gets. But I think that's what shot it up to a B minus. If it was just the story itself, and you know, I'm just not generally a fan of the Preach and
I know you're not,
et cetera. So that would have gotten it for me in the C range. But I was so happy that Laura gave a little bit back to Coop in this episode, which is what brought it up to a B minus.
Okay.
I'm gonna do this a little different. So we're gonna start with the stuff that happened before the title card, and then we're gonna get into the storylines. But basically, it starts on the game. The game is moving very slowly. I think GAU was, I want to say, in the lead. I think,
yeah,
but it was just like nothing. Yeah, nothing exciting was happening in the game. Mm-mm. And Kenny is out, and so Coach Mack was doing all of the play calling for my assumptions, all of the play calling for the team and acting as head coach on that day. But anyway, something breaks. Spencer gets a TD. Jordan throws it to him. They get a TV. We flip back to the girls who are watching the game. And Layla and Liv decide to take this moment to check in about their books. The book of the lie. Like, how's it going? I was just like, sure. Yeah. But I also was kind of confused because, like, then this whole conversation around, like, they check in, you know, Liv's sort of kind of stuck on her mom's interview, and Layla's, like, the line just going fine-ish, I think is what the conversation was.
I think she said, yeah.
Right. But then they flip the conversation to Coop because Patience wasn't there. Mm-hmm. And then Coop is like telling Patience his business, talking about like, oh yeah, things are awkward because I curved her. And I'm like, I think we're ignoring some key details in this story. And that Patience said, oh, I don't want anything locked her.
Yeah, I forgot she really did. I think she said, like, it was, what, for the moment or something like that.
Exactly. And then Coop was just trying to act like she just curved her, and that was it. That patient, like, that Coop was like, oh, I wanted it to be deeper. And then Patience was like, no. But yeah. Coop told a very favorable recounting and retelling of mm-hmm. what happened between her and Patience.
Yeah.
And then they turn back on the TV because Spencer, or they unmute, rather, the TV because Spencer got a touchdown. But I was confused because I was just like, didn't we watch the touchdown happen? And then we flipped it, y'all? So our... I'm confused.
And they were still watching and they had the TV on mute and they saw. And then when they were like, oh, let's unmute it. And that's when Layla was like, yeah, we're going to mute when Spencer's on it. But Jordan was playing the entire game.
That was a little fun thing. I love the, like, you know, as I was saying, I think it's going to be interesting as the Spencer Jordan things happen, how the girls are going to react to it, just because it's a little fun wrinkle. It's a new fun wrinkle in the Spencer Jordan dynamic that we've seen. It's just like, let's see how they respond. But anywho, all of that happens. They end up losing the game because the other team got a touchdown. And they got a touchdown because, and this is something that's different, is that Spencer was involved. So it wasn't like he was being ignored. He wasn't a decoy or anything. He got the touchdown. But he wanted the ball again to convert one of the third downs into a first down. Mm-hmm. And the coach wanted to run a screen, which is basically like a trick play almost, but wanted to run a screen. But it's a trick play that gets you a lot of yards very quickly. Mm-hmm. And it was also to neutralize a blitz because they were blitzing Jordan. So Jordan didn't have enough time to scan the field.
Yeah.
And Spencer and Jordan got into it because the down before Jordan took a check down instead of throwing it to Spencer, but he had to take the check down because he was being blitzed. Run this screen for the blitz. Spencer is supposed to block. So one thing about screens is that the blocking has to be on point and, like, again, on point for the screen to be successful. Because
I'm over here like, what are you talking about?
Yeah, you're like, what is this? So yeah, the block has to be key. The block is key for the screen to be successful because it's basically everybody on the team is blocking so that this one guy can get the yards to neutralize the blitz. And Spencer does this sort of lazy block and misses his assignment. And then the screen guy fumbles the ball. They get a touchdown off of that and they lose the game. And then Coach Mack wasn't pleased with Spencer, right? He almost took him out of the game or sat him during the game. And then afterwards, Jordan comes to Spencer and says, you're selfish. And that is how we launch ourselves into the story.
Yeah, like that part, I think, if I remember correctly, I felt like Jordan was throwing the pass, whatever, but then he got tackled. So the person tackled the ball, he missed it. So really, technically, I didn't feel like it was on Jordan for that moment because the dude tackled you. What you gonna do if the person tackled you while you have the ball? You can't do anything.
Yeah.
And then
exactly. Yeah, it was a blitz. Yeah. So it was definitely just that. It's not like, again, Spencer isn't being ignored in the offense, now that we've seen, at least in this game, that it was that he was getting the ball, but he wanted the ball more.
Yeah.
And because the offense didn't run through him for that play, for that conversion, that he was just like, all right, I'm not going to block. And we saw what the deal was.
But then him just like,
don't come for me. That's literally what, if anybody tries to come for me in the comments, that's literally what took place on the screen.
Because then he got mad and he started like yelling on the sideline.
Exactly.
It was funny to me hearing the audible because I was like, When have we heard the audible in football people hearing on the sidelines? Like, you usually just try to figure out what they're saying at times.
Spencer was like, oh, you could have called an audible. Like, okay.
I was just like, all
and right. He did it.
No. And this Jordan got me laughing because he was like,
like, yeah. Spencer, so where do we go from here? For Spencer and Jordan, so where do we go from here? He didn't call the audible, the guy fumbled, y'all lost the game. So where do we go from here?
Yeah. I've even like sometimes you just be stuck in his head sometimes and let like you are a part of a team. So at the end of the day, the team should be helping you get there. You're not having the team with you. You're just trying to do everything by yourself. Right. And I get it, because right. you're trying to go pro and you're doing all this stuff, but at the same time, you need to lean on your teammates, especially if you're trying to go to a championship game and other stuff they're trying to do. Like,
right, because now they're out of contention. Now they're out mm-hmm. of contention for the time being. So that was an interesting opening to that. But then we sort of get into the episode and flipping back to Coop and Patience mm-hmm. isn't here, but we see Laura is gonna be guest lecturing mm-hmm. I guess for Coop's class. Did they explain whether she's an adjunct professor or that she's literally, is this her class or was she just,
I think she was just guest speaking, like I think she,
that's
is
what a, I thought, yeah,
but she I think she's a professor there on campus, but I think she was just guest lecturing for that one particular
for
class.
Coop's class. Yeah, it was very interesting because they're basically doing a project, but I've never seen a guest lecturer be for several classes, which it felt mm-hmm. like, maybe I read too much into it, but it felt like Laura was going to be there for several classes mm-hmm. But basically gives this case, this explains this stalking case mm-hmm. For the entire class, and I was just like, at first I said, is Laura just finding a case that's similar to Patience so she can prep for the Patience case, but then mm-hmm. it ended up that she was literally using Patience's yeah. case to prep for Patience's case mm-hmm. And Coop was upset because she said, oh, you could have given me a heads up that you were going to use Patience's case and just change the details mm-hmm. And again, I was very excited to see Laura come back and say, well, I can do whatever I want. I can do whatever I want, and our break's over. Nothing.
Yeah, I was like, she didn't have to tell her anything. She can do what she wants. Like, you're literally said, I'm your student, when she was like, you treat me like a student. Like, okay, you're the student. I'm the teacher. Something to damn
exactly.
do.
Exactly. 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 And could she have chosen a different case? Obviously, but it's mm-hmm. it's her prerogative. And so comes back. She splits everybody up into groups to discuss this case, and Coop is a part of this group, and the guy that's in her group is starting to explain how he sort of kind of views the again sort of the I don't know if it's prosecution because is it criminal law, but mm-hmm. the opposition that mm-hmm. I learned last week describes that person as a narcissist, and the person that was the actor in this case, Patience, who's a singer, mm-hmm. But says this person seems really narcissistic because it was a friendship and it was a relationship as long as the person was getting something out of it, getting promotion, getting marketing, etc., 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 and mm-hmm. then when they didn't need that anymore, it stopped. And obviously Coop got really triggered about this because it is her friend. Mm-hmm. But she's just like, oh, maybe you're the narcissist. Like, just starts going off on this guy that has no clue what the real case is and is just, you know, stating his opinion. And Laura kicks her out of class. And she's just like, yeah, you need to go. They come back at the end of the day. And Coop walks in after talking with Spencer about it and saying how she reacted in the moment and didn't take mm-hmm. a time, like a beat, I guess, to breathe and to think things through. And so she comes back to Laura. Laura says this very funny, are you going to call me a narcissist? and then basically tells Coop that she assigned this to the class because she wanted to get a read on how this would read in trial and how this would go over and how it would be received in trial. Mm-hmm. And that these opinions were likely the same opinions that they were going to get in the case. This would definitely be probably the defense that the defense would use, right? That mm-hmm. Patience is a narcissist. So it was really helpful to get that clarity before the case goes to trial. And it was really interesting because she also told Coop this, which I feel like I would be a bigger fan of Coop's character if we had more instances of other characters doing what Laura did in this scene to Coop, and that's just telling Coop straight up, I really want you to channel your energy and use it for creative problem solving, or channel your energy in the right way rather than going 0 to 60 all of the time. And I'll add, right, coming at people sideways when you don't understand it instead of understanding their end of whatever the situation is.
Yeah, I feel like sometimes she thinks, like, her mind goes like this sometimes when somebody's, like, having a problem or issue, and I'm like, girl, just calm down, take a breather, listen to what they're saying, and then you can react how you want to react. But you just go off the mouth, and it's just like, come on, like, she's trying to help you, people are trying to help you, like, this could help the case. Like, you don't know what they can find from what you may not have found or Lauren may not found. So you never know.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. So that was that. And I actually, you know, as much as I'm not necessarily a big fan of this storyline per se, I was a fan of how it worked out in this specific episode, because I thought it was a really unique case. I think it was a unique case in the sense that we haven't seen people really sit Coop down and say things like this to her. And really cause her to think through it logically. I feel like they've tried to do it in other ways, but it's been more of giving Coop a pass. But this time I felt like they didn't give Coop a pass. And, you know, Laura really was just like, I don't have to explain myself to you.
She did it.
Refreshing to me personally.
That's what you started looking around to. And she's like, who are you yelling at? Like,
exactly. Girl. I know you ain't talking to me. So that was really fun for this one. Preach and Grace.
I don't know. I felt like I was watching their scenes, and then I just felt like I wasn't watching their scenes. I don't know. I'm like, where is Grace's husband? I kept figuring out, where is her husband?
They never mentioned this man ever.
I'm like, wasn't he a
man? Is she still married? How often is she in Oakland? Where is his daughter?
I thought he
Why is Dylan there?
He moved back. I think he did. I don't know. I thought he said last season.
They must have gotten a divorce. They must be separated. We don't know.
I don't know. Did you see a ring? I don't remember.
That's true. Was she wearing a ring? Now, this is what we need to be talking about. Is she secretly separated from that fine man she got over there, Carter?
Because they never mentioned him. They just showed Dylan and her.
That's crazy. Could you imagine it gets to the end of the season? He's like, oh, yeah. Yeah, we separated.
I would preach. What?
Was it not giving that low key? I was just like, are they trying to set something
up? I feel like they're trying to set something up.
It was just giving, I just feel like too many characters was just like, oh, she's with Mr. Preach. I was like, what is going on?
She bringing the man dinner. I said, you didn't even make the lasagna. Dylan made the lasagna.
Right. So yeah, that was interesting. But yeah, basically the whole storyline was that Preach came to Grace about this grant so that the after school program wouldn't be cut. And Dylan actually had some really great things to say. He wanted the program to be saved and really pushed his mom to do it because he has a friend that's in the program. Mm-hmm. However, why? Maybe I should give him the benefit of the doubt. But as we got further along in the episode, I said, why did Preach come to her with this so late? Like, he was just like, oh yeah, it's due on Monday. Like, they didn't even have a week to do this. It was giving, like, a weekend.
Yeah.
Applications have a long, at least a month ahead. No, I've done grant applications. Grant applications have at least, like, a good, like, 3-4 month leeway period where the application opens and it closes. And so I was just like, where is this last minute thing?
And you could tell she was annoyed. I'm like, why you always get annoyed with Preach? Like, I think I got over this. Like, you didn't even want him in the school last year, whatever year he came, and now he actually being a person that doing after school program, being the teacher, I don't know if he's a teacher or whatever he's doing, But, like, why knock what he doing?
Whatever he's doing is crazy, because that's real.
I don't know. Like, I know he's doing the after-school program, but I'm like, what was he? I don't remember what Billy made him be, or what was he supposed to be? I don't remember.
Right. Wasn't it that they did make him a full teacher because, and that was the whole thing, because he was, like, an ex-convict or whatever.
Yeah, but I don't know.
Also, I completely agree, because even though I think Preach was ridiculous for coming with this application late, and again, maybe it benefit of the doubt, maybe he just found out and he just did the search, so if that's the case, then never mind on that point. But I agree with you on Grace's point of just, why is Grace always annoyed with people that are coming to her either for help or to assist her? Because she literally, what was it, Preach, she walks into the room at the end of the episode and Preach is just like, yeah, I got your text that, like, I came at you really aggressively. And I said, but you did it. It wasn't aggressive. Were you eager? Yes, but it was not giving aggressive.
No, it wasn't. Like, he was just stating that, hey, I need help on this grant.
Exactly, and he was about to leave, and then Dylan is actually the one that pushed the point and was just like, oh yeah, you can do it. So I just don't, it just reminded me of what she did to Denise the other week. Was this last week? When she said, oh yeah, like, she is a bit of a stalker or whatever. And it's, why do you always have to give these snide remarks, backhanded compliments, say stuff under your breath? It just, like, just be normal. Just
that's why Dylan had to check her.
That part. So that was Grace. Simultaneously with Preach doing this whole grant application, he actually, and I forgot to mention this up at the top, I'm kind of confused about how he and Coop and Preach were having that breakfast.
Yeah, I was so confused by that. It was just,
I was very confused.
I feel like it was just so random, because when has ever Preach cooked a meal, sat with them, and ate food at the beach house?
When has Preach even been to the beach house?
Never.
I don't think he's ever been there before.
No, he hasn't. I just feel like they tried to throw his character in there. So it could be
sense. And I thought that they were going to give a reason, and then they didn't.
I think he just said they cooked them breakfast, like Spencer breakfast or something.
But Spencer was just like, oh yeah, I have to get to this, because wasn't he talking to...
He was talking to Liv.
He was on the phone with Liv. And he was just like, I have to get to this breakfast that Preach... I have to get to this breakfast with Preach and Coop. And I was like, why? What?
And I looked down, he was cooking in the beach house. I said... Okay.
Maybe the whole purpose was so that Preach, because then Preach brought up obviously Dion and Spencer, like wanting Spencer to connect with Dion. So maybe that was the purpose. But it just wasn't clear off the bat why there's this whole thing going on. It was a little convenient. It was a little convenient.
I was like, cook. I mean, Preach was cooking. I was like, huh?
Yeah. It was like, oh, okay.
Literally.
Right. So he did ask Spencer to help with Dion when they were having breakfast. And then I think back again when Spencer eventually comes to the school. And this was really weird, because it was giving that Preach was scared of Dion's sister. And Preach has been a character that's historically been scared of nothing. That was very random.
Yeah, I think they just tried to throw it in, like, oh, she's... like, not scary, but, like, she's scary. Like, people don't like to face her because of her brother.
Really drive home the panic attack that he has later. Mm-hmm. To say that she puts a lot of pressure on him. Spencer meets Dion and Dion's sister. And she's talking to him. She's acting kind of crazy. It's like, all right, girl, calm down. Calm down. But she asks Spencer to talk some sense into Dion. And Spencer invites him to eat tamales. Which I'm like, oh yeah, y'all remembering that y'all take place in LA, because it's just like a random reference. Let's go outside the tamale
cart. And then I'm like, y'all outside the school? Like, they had a food truck?
They've never given these references before. Look at me saying we do. Look at me being in LA for a while.
Okay.
That's kind of crazy. But yeah, no. So that was really funny. And so they have a bite to eat. And then Spencer has this conversation with Dion where he's just like, yeah, you know, sometimes, you know, you let your passion take over. And he kind of like relates it back to what he just went through in the game and says, and act a fool on national television. But then also Dion is having a panic attack in the middle of this and Spencer helps him. What's also interesting about this is that, you know, I thought it was really good and, you know, I guess Spencer's picked some things up from Dr. Spears because counting and breathing really does help. And I love that Spencer said, like, don't pay attention to the people around you. But then it was interesting because they move from the stairs to outside. And at first I thought they were laying on the ground, but then they were laying on a little, like,
the benches.
Yeah, exactly. And Spencer's, like, meditating. And you know what? If JJ didn't give us anything else, he gave us Spencer meditating. Yeah. I said, thank you, JJ.
Yeah.
Because then Spencer talking about some listen to the wind.
I was like, what? Do you do that? I was like, have you done that lately? Meditating? You don't use it. So,
not at all. I was just like, we haven't seen meditating Spencer since season 4. Where has this Spencer been? But anyway, also he just read. It's what's so funny about this. It just felt like this particular storyline. I was just like, what is going on? Because then again, Spencer did some great stuff, and he really was a help to this young gentleman. But as he's like telling him to meditate and stuff, and you know, clear his mind, he then hits him with, "So you hate football?" I was like, that came out of nowhere.
I feel like he probably just because of like his conversation when Tasha was talking about, I think that's her name, when she was going off about the situation in the hallway, he looked unbothered. And then even with the panic attack, like, I was just like, he probably don't like it. So it's just like,
yeah, that's valid. It was just so funny because it was just like this particular storyline, I feel like, jumped from thing to thing where it was just like, oh, meet the sister, oh, panic attack, oh, you hate football. Like, it was just one thing after the next. And if Dion is going to be in this next generation,
you think he's gonna be a part of this?
I feel like, and let me get your thoughts after this, but I feel like from this Dion storyline, and even though Spencer really helped him, and he later texted Spencer and said, really, I appreciate you, I wish you were my therapist, and all of that, I wish that we got to hear more from Dion about his feelings, because I feel like we heard a lot of Preach talking for him, we heard a lot of his sister talking for him, and Spencer was extremely helpful, and I loved how they had Spencer calm him down, but I also felt like we heard Spencer also talking for him. And so we know that he's a man of few words, but also I think at this point it feels like he and Spencer have developed a little rapport, so I just would have appreciated hearing a little bit more from him in this storyline to help, I guess, these transitions between the panic attack and the you hate football and et cetera, et cetera. But what did you think about it?
Yeah, I wish he talked a little bit more. Like, he could have said, okay, what is your panic attack coming from? Because a lot of times it's probably from his sister and then just, like, being on the field and all that stuff. But, like, he could have talked a little bit more about what caused the panic attack and then spoke about, like, oh, okay, like, no, like, yeah, I don't hate football. But so-and-so, like, this, like, key points. And Spencer could have, like, listened and gave his opinion, too. Because, like, what you said, he did give a good response to it and, like, helped him, you know, figure out some stuff. But I feel like it's unresolved. Especially Dion. I feel like he's still going to be... He may took what Spencer said, but I feel like he wasn't wrong about what Spencer said. So it's just, like, him coming to a realization about what he said. Or, you know, figuring that part out.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I 100% agree. Because I feel like I left that conversation, and I might have missed a scene or two, but I feel like I left that conversation in that particular storyline wondering, and they could go further into this, but I left it wondering, so does he really hate football? Or does he just hate the pressure that football places on him? Or, you know, anything like that.
Yeah. Because I'm trying to think. Well, like he said, he had unopened offer letters he didn't open. And, like, him, right? Like, the practice and stuff like that. So, I feel like he's not eager to know what his future is just yet. I feel like he may still want to be a kid. I mean, like, a teenager. And not be so,
yeah, it
like,
reminded me of Spencer. Yeah, it reminded me of Spencer and needing to take breaks. Spencer decided to leave football, was it twice? In season two, and I forget the other season. It was like season two, and then after, was it two times in season two?
No, I think it was when he got shot, and then what else made him leave?
I don't know.
His dad or something?
Yeah, I'm like, what else made him leave? I forget. But, so anyway, I think it was twice. If not, correct me, and maybe it was once. But also, it was that, that and the fact that when he did decide, this is really what I want to pursue, and we were on a, like, full steam ahead from season three on, that it felt, he had that issue in season four where he felt like he couldn't sign an offer letter, and either because it wasn't the right program or because he didn't feel like he could leave because Coop was hurt or whatever. But Spencer's gone through these times, so it was reminding me of the times that Spencer has gone through these seasons of football where for some reason or another he felt like he either had to leave the game or he wasn't like excited for the next step.
That's true.
I thought that could be a fun way to relate it back to that, but I wasn't getting the full the full resolution of that.
That's true. I also didn't, like, understand, like, when he had the panic attack, everyone just looking and surrounding himself. I was like, go about your business. Like, it's a serious thing, but also, too, like, you don't have to stand there and look and see what's going on. Like,
Exactly. But it was also giving real high school, just like, what's going on? Next. Layla and Jordan.
Kids, Lexi sends me, like, last week, the episode thing. She literally sent me, like, 5-6 things every other day of finding something because some other people found something. And then she got on me a chuckle because I was just tweeting about them. I was like, whatever. That's my shit.
That is true. I didn't even think about that. Because I finally had come to a place where I was just like, I've rested. And then you got me sucked back in. You got me sucked back in. I was like watching a whole different show over the weekend. That's hilarious. But, Layla over her man's shoulder like that, starting out, kissing the neck.
I said, oh, okay, this is very domestic. I'm here for it. I feel like I was intruding. That's how I'm feeling sometimes now.
This is very domestic is so 100% on point, because I was just like, yes. Just like last episode, I said, oh, I feel like maybe I should go.
But also it was a parallel to, like, I think what last season of them in the bedroom and then, like, the mirror getting them.
Yes.
And then
but we got it this time. They showed it this time. They zoomed in.
I was laughing when that happened.
But it's been nice. I'll say it's been nice to see them in this era of their relationship, notwithstanding I have some things to say about Layla, but it's been nice to see them in this era of just they've always been very comfortable with each other. Let's say
very because I was like, oh,
extremely even before they were dating, they were very comfortable with each other.
But Gabby was just sitting there on the laptop And she was just like, cause I was like, girl, he ain't even paying attention. He paying attention, so it was just like, okay. Jordan, pay
attention. It brought me back to Jordan's brief episode. Kaya and Carmen being like, wait, it's not water time yet. You didn't earn this water yet. What is? Am I late? This is.
Okay.
But I think what's funny about these scenes is that, like, things that we've, like, heard, right, from other people about them is that, like, we're getting to see it, which is nice. And it was really cute. Gave him a little massage. But also,
you've been wanting that. We wanted that last season. Here we are.
We did want that last season. But listen, I'm not mad that we got it this season. I'm not mad that we got it this season.
Just keep it.
But obviously, Layla wanted more than a massage. I think, like, the parallel from season 5, I think episode 6, which is also what Micah wrote, he brought it back around. So last time it was Jordan being like, can you stay? And this time it was Layla being like,
Yeah, that's so funny. I need somebody to parallel that edit. I don't know if you've seen edits.
Yeah.
Parallel for me.
Shout out Micah. And so it was cute, but it was also the vehicle of the storyline after we've just talked about all this thing was that Jordan is now looking for roommates because Asher and Jamie have moved out. We already know JJ is gone. And it's just he and Spencer in the beach house. And the landlord has raised the rent. And they can't afford it, just the two of them on their own. Which I thought was funny. I was just like, so what you're saying is Laura's not paying for it anymore.
Yeah, that's like, how are they making their payment rent? Wait, maybe, I don't know, do they do NIL stuff? I don't know how that works.
We know Spencer has a merchandise line, and we know that he has one or two NIL deals. We don't know about Jordan. I don't know if Jordan has any deals, but we do know that he has a very rich parent.
That's very true.
And I assume Laura was just like, it's time. It's time.
That's very true.
And so, so he was looking for new roommates, and Layla, obviously there's still this tension with him and Spencer, and so Layla was just like, I happen to be very good at interviewing. Is that the truth, given what we just saw? But I happen to be very good at interviewing, so I can help you after we get in a lull. It's just because you're here. I don't know. I don't know what's coming over me.
Oh my God. This is us every single day, y'all.
No, for real. For real. But anyway, it was a cute scene. They do this hysterical montage where they're interviewing people. And first of all, somebody brings up the lounge fight video, which Layla has been trying to get taken down. And people it just keeps blowing up. And they also mention... Circles right back around to the bedroom.
I was laughing so hard.
Woo! Also mentioned that, you know, when they're on the same page,
I was like, sky's the limit. I said, okay. What got me was when the dude left. And I don't know if y'all saw this, but Jordan held Layla's head and was like, what was that? Like, he was looking at her like, what
when
was that?
When he said, first of all, I love that line. When he turned to her and he's like, hi. he doesn't even say anything first. He just says, hi.
Like,
are we
going to
talk about that? It was hilarious. But also, this now is a good moment to pause and say, I do think we're seeing Layla be a little bit more carefree about the things that she's doing. And they did give her a good justification for it, right? Oh, I knew that he wasn't the right fit. So I just wanted to get him out of here in a hurry, i.e. the person they were interviewing.
Because he even looked weird.
But also, That's what I'm saying. I'm like, he, besides like the financial thing, because this is like an unstable, I don't remember if it was the creative guy or whatever, but it wasn't giving like overtly, you gotta get him out of here, to me at least, enough to say what she was saying. So I do think that we're still seeing, and you and I have talked about this, we're still seeing the effects of her not taking her medication in terms of she's just being very freeing.
Because, yeah, even I was like, what kind of question is this? Like, who asks this in a roommate thing? I feel like most people.
Exactly. Who, first of all, who asks that question? So it's a very inappropriate question. But also,
if we do something, that's our business.
Exactly, what? Exactly. It was an inappropriate question, inappropriate answer, even though I was entertained personally. So I do think, well, and I also, because people have said, when is Jordan going to start to notice? And I think Michael played it in a very, this isn't a normal response sort of a way. To me, at least, he was giving some, I mean, you mentioned it too, but he was giving some, that was weird.
Yeah, I felt like, I thought he was going to say something after that, but they just kind of left it to like his facial expression, and I was just like, okay.
Yeah, but I appreciate it, because I think it's going to lead into next episode, for sure. And that's sort of, oh, then they get that couple that pretended like they were perfect, only to argue the second they walk through the door to move their stuff.
They're going to be horrible. I could just imagine if...
It was already giving... Don't give it to him. He loses them anyway. I was just like, oh, girl.
I think what she put is like, she was in the next episode, she said, or something like that. So I'm like, girl.
It was funny. It was funny. And we'll see where those crazy roommates take them next. If Jordan gives any more funny looks to Layla as she's just saying some interesting things that she wouldn't normally say.
Imagine she trying to get into the woods. I would crack up laughing.
Wait, did you just say imagine if she tries to like get some in the woods? Did I hear you correctly?
Yeah.
But what if she does? We'll talk about
it. And I thought that they were like, Layla, we in the bushes. Where are we going to go?
Not Layla, we're in the bushes. We gonna get to it with predictions. But flipping to the other couple and a surprise visitor. Ooh. Can we just pause? Because they got it right with who they casted for Ashley. They got it right.
I was waiting. I was like, who's this man? Who's it gonna be? Is it gonna be white? Is it gonna be... And he was a fine man. Black man.
He was good looking man. Are you in LA? Are you around my part?
His accent was giving, because I think he is from in real life. I think he is from London.
Yeah, so. It was giving authentic. It was giving authentic.
And I started because I was like him and Daniel in the same scene.
Literally, Daniel, I know. I was accent. Just like, I wonder if it was harder for Daniel to do. Obviously, he's been doing this role for a while, but I wonder if it was harder for Daniel to do his American accent with it what felt like a native British speaker also in the scene. Especially when he said, when Ashley said Olivia, like the little R.
It slips out. Olivia. You can tell sometimes when Daniel says stuff, you'd be like, oh.
Ashley comes and surprises. He asks Liv about the progress with her book. She talks about how she's struggling to interview her mom. Jordan and Layla come down, and this is when we collectively as an audience find out that though Liv has told the group about Ashley, she has not told them that Ashley is a guy. So they were very surprised about that, even though it seemed like she told them a lot about him, like period.
Yeah.
Because they knew that he was an artist, they knew that he was a painter. Uh-huh. And they seemed very familiar, and he knew about them as well, and he was just like, you're just as was described. And Liv says that she's planning a kickback with the Vortex, which I'm like, oh girl, you planned a party for the first time ever.
The party was not even like giving.
It was I think even kickback was a bit much.
Yeah. For
what ended up being the case. Because Coop didn't even say dinner. Well, we'll get to it. But so and then I think Olivia was trying to call Spencer throughout the day to explain because Layla, and I love that we're getting weekly Laylivia scenes. Like, I prayed for times like this to occur, and this is how I know. I don't care what y'all say, but we do know that Layla is her best friend. Argue with the wall. So, anywho. I don't know why I'm acting crazy. Basically, Layla encourages Liv to, are we going to address the elephant in the room and, you know, encourage you to tell Spencer?
Yeah.
You know, what's going on? Because it was a very, it was also like, this was very interesting because it was at this point, it was a conscious decision on Liv's part not to include the gender of who it was. Yeah, because everybody, this was a thing, because then it gets reiterated when, obviously, Spencer meets Ashley, and one of the first things he asks Ashley is, what are your pronouns? And I'm like, we've never heard Spencer mention pronouns at any point in this show.
You making sure, like, you know.
And then I did love this, because this is actually a very British, sentence, so shout out to Micah for getting that right. Been to London a ton of times, but Ashley responding with, oh, I love that you Americans are so, you're so open, you're so straightforward, because that is exactly what British people would say to that sort of a question. Ashley his pronouns, he says he him, and like Liv was looking hella guilty.
She was like, She was like,
it was weird because it was like, I don't know. This part of the story was so interesting. And Liv tries to talk about it with Spencer afterwards when they're at the kickback. And she's like, and Ashley, blah, 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 blah. And he was just like, oh, I see. Yeah, you're being careful with the pronouns again. I was
like, like, you saying he's a dude now. You weren't saying. And then, I literally said, hey, I asked you about this before. And I mentioned that.
Because he called Ashley a she and she didn't correct him. And that's what I'm saying. It was very conscious on Liv's part. It wasn't just. They didn't play this as, it just never came up or nobody asked or XYZ. It was that people were legitimately surprised that Ashley was a guy, and it was multiple people. It was like the whole friend group, because even Coop said something, and Spencer says to her, it's everybody, it's just. So it was very interesting to get that, and I want to dig deeper into why Liv did that, because they didn't really give us a justification for why she did it. She said that it was a mistake, and then she wanted Spencer to meet Ashley when he came to visit her, but then they stayed in the hotel, so it didn't work. But that also just felt like an excuse. And I love Liv down, but it just, her justification for hiding this wasn't adding up.
Especially like when you had opportunities to tell Spencer over and over again, and you're calling him like a couple episodes ago about what was going on with Grace, and it's like, you could,
and the fact that you were staying, because when he came to visit her, let's even think about the timeline, when he came to visit her, that was at the end of her 3 months, so she spent another year and didn't tell nobody that this man was a guy. And I think that's where my mind is blown, is that none of the people knew, even though they knew about Ashley. Nobody knew that this man was a guy. Was a man.
Yeah.
A fine man.
He said, Layla said, you forgot to mention he was fine.
Layla was coming with the truth, okay. Yeah. What did Coop say? Idris Elba.
Mm-hmm. Idris Elba look alike.
Oh my goodness. That was hilarious. It was Coop, really interesting. Coop got some points for me for that Idris Elba line. I'm not even gonna lie. I'm sorry, but it was fun.
Of like, at least I enjoy like what you said, Liv and Layla scene of like her telling him like, hey, you had a similar situation where you didn't tell me that Ryan was, you know, cute, whatever. But she was like, yeah, but I told Jordan about it. Like, I reassured him nothing was going on there. So it was just like...
Right, and then he's just like, oh yeah, now they're friends. And Layla was just like, well, not friends.
They coexist.
Exactly. And so I think it was very... It was interesting because as we've gotten this more mature, and they've been very intentional, right? The writers that saying like the more mature Olivia, this is how they've planned this story arc for her this season, is that her time in London changed her. She's more mature. She's thinking things through. And this felt more of a flashback to an older, younger Olivia that, for whatever reason, didn't want to reveal that truth.
No, because he even said, he was like, you're different here. Like, when they were in the patio and everybody had left, he was like, you're different.
Let's talk about that patio conversation. So they say that, and it's after Spencer tells Liv, like, hey, now's not the time for this conversation. I'm very glad this was also a moment of growth for Spencer, I believe, not just obviously for his reaction and everything like that, but I felt like this is a lesser known parallel, I think, or lesser talked about parallel, is that when this sort of a situation happened with Olivia's coworkers in season 4, yes, it was season 4, and specifically 4:17, and Spencer was meeting her coworkers, one of the things that I have been adamant about, I still stand on my opinion of that I had back then, but that Spencer came to Olivia sort of hit up in his came to Olivia to be invited to her party, hit up in the room when he realized that he didn't know things about her, and then basically said, yeah, like, we don't know each other anymore, and then said, this is not the place to talk about it, you have guests, but then he left, and I was just like, leaving is not going to solve anything. You still have a guest. Yeah. Like, you still have all these people. Now all these people are going to ask her, where did Spencer go, and XYZ. And so I love that even though he wasn't thrilled about it, that he still essentially, I feel like, put on a brave face for the sake of the evening and still had a really good conversation with him and still, like, stayed throughout the night, stayed throughout the kickback. And even though he wasn't pleased with how Olivia handled it, that he did take, again, that reaction time, but also the time to support her and still meet her friend, regardless of how he felt about the whole situation. So I was just like, kudos from me, points for boyfriend Spencer, because that was very different than how he would have reacted in the past.
Oh, yeah. Especially when he was, like, they were all sitting in the patio and they were talking. I forgot what they were talking about, but then Ashley was like, yeah, you know, Olivia did this.
Olivia believes in me.
And I was just like, oh, well, you could tell their reactions on everybody's side. I was like, well.
As soon as Ashley said that, Layla was just like, okay, let's go.
Like,
okay, well, it's time for us to leave.
I was like, but also too, side note, I actually liked that atmosphere of them, like, the four of them, like, hanging
out. Yeah, it was really nice to see. It was really nice to see.
Of the drama and all that stuff. Especially with the late Olivia hug they got. Then,
yes! You know,
and everything like
that. It just felt new and refreshing and different. Yeah, it felt like they were all older. And again, they didn't really explain why Coop didn't stay, or did they?
No, I think she went out. And then she came back home. Because you remember,
that's what I'm saying. She just, like, left. I don't know. But she wasn't there, so it was just the couples plus Ashley. But it was a really nice scene up until the tension at the end.
Yeah.
That was sort of simmering under the surface. But yeah, it was a really nice scene where they, you know, got to hear about Ashley, got to meet him. And it's, you know, after Jordan and Layla decide to go, Spencer then decides to go to talk to Dr. Spears, which I was just like, isn't it like 9 o'clock?
I thought he was just like,
I have to talk to Dr. Spears. Yeah. He got a text from Dion, and then he said, oh, I have to call Dr. Or he said, I have to talk to Dr. Spears. So that was
his. Well, they don't call, so he could have really went to talk to him.
Correct. And then this is when, to your point, we get that conversation with Ashley where he tells Olivia that she's different here and that the Olivia from London, you know, wouldn't have been so scared to have this conversation with her mom. And
he's like, you can see right through me. What if she said, girl?
I hate that you see right through me. I said, oh.
I was like, okay.
And then they have this talk, and I was worried that it was going to, I think, lean too hard on the romantic. And obviously, there were some undertones. There were some, let's be real, like, let's just call it what it is, a spade a spade. There was some undertones of romance there, even if it's not explored, there were some undertones of romance there. But I'm glad that they didn't just leave it there, and I'm glad that it flipped back to him saying, just observing, he was just like, your mates are amazing. No, but he was just like, your friends are great, you have a great village, you have a large village, you can lean on them. And basically telling her that she's strong enough to do this book. And I love that because I think it took the focus off of this, like, we've been hearing about this London Olivia, but I think what we need to start getting to is having London Olivia and LA Olivia be the same person. And I think this was a step towards that, of him saying, you know, regardless of the friendships that you had in London, you have a whole bunch of people who care about you here. And the fact that he could tell that just by this one dinner or kickback or whatever you want to call it, even with that tension, was amazing. And so for her to hear that, so I think that she can start to feel more, I think, settled in LA, because we still haven't seen her really settle in LA, was really important. Plus the fact that for the 50th time tonight, that man is foine. That man is foine.
Lola said, you might want to tell him to put some clothes on, because with these tight fitted shirt he got going on. I said,
oh. When Layla said, you give him some looser clothes, I said, I know, yeah. Girl. I know, right? but don't give him any looser clothes. And what's interesting is that we do know, this is sort of one of the last scenes, is that this was a surprise visit from Ashley. She didn't know that he was coming. He came to help her with the book, but Spencer asked Olivia about it, and she says she doesn't know how long he's gonna be here. I was just like, oh girl, you ain't ask him. And he's staying in Spencer's old room, but yeah, she doesn't know how long he's gonna be here. That conversation sort of ended there. It was just like, okay. And then they said, oh, well, hey, as they're getting ready for bed, do you want to talk about the frustrations of the football game? And he had already gotten that wonderful, wonderful advice from Dylan, who, let's take a second to talk about that, is that he essentially told Spencer after, right, this whole thing with Ashley, when Spencer left to go talk to Dr. Spears, first of all, Dylan made lasagna. Dylan was coming through for everybody in this episode. But Dylan was helping his mom. Dylan was making his mom's lasagna, which turned out to be really good. Turned out to be better than Liv's attempt at making the muffins. Dylan says, you know, I have two ears to lend you. And Spencer talks about the day, the fact that, you know, he and Jordan are still sort of on the outs, and it's spilling over to off the field. They're on the field issue that he really loves helping people, as we know, and that how is he going to do that with football? And then obviously the fact that Liv's friend Ashley is a guy, and you know, Dylan very succinctly, and I think this was really great, just very succinctly says to Spencer, hey, you know, first of all, you're going to have a life after the NFL. And so you can always pursue psychology further, therapy further, helping people further. You and Jordan are always going to be brothers, which is like, that's it. Like, this is the answer. Like, you're always going to be brothers. So eventually it will resolve itself. And the fact that, you know, do you trust Olivia? Which was interesting because we didn't get Spencer's answer for that. I think that he had a response to everything, but we didn't get Spencer's answer for that. I do think that he trusts her, and I think he trusts her more than he did, I think, in the past, just because they've grown up more. But it was interesting because it did leave on this, you know, unresolved note than to go back to them in the bed. Him saying, I've already talked about it. I think I found my clarity. And then him saying, hey, the book, or it might have happened in reverse, but him saying, hey, the book, do you want to talk about it? And she's just like, well, nope, I think I'm solid on the book.
But I feel like
we got the clarity we needed.
I feel like they're trying to do kind of with season four, them having that miscommunication, like, especially with them, like you said, I think it was 17, where the coworker knew something about her and, like, keep feeling stuff away, and then it went into a whole different thing. I'm like, hopefully, like you said, with the new mature Liv and then Spencer, too, changing, that they're open to have a conversation. It's not like, oh, let's drag this on. Let's just drag. Because they went to bed, just literally said, okay, well, good night. And just went to bed. Like,
those greats had me rolling. Great. Great. I'm
like, what? I was like, this is what we're doing right now again.
Oh, but also I felt like, yes, this is what we're doing, but I loved that it felt more calm than they have been in the past. And I know people are going to be upset because they're not communicating maybe as they should be or could be, but it didn't feel to me like season four, end of season four, beginning of season five, where it was just like they were so frustrated that they just couldn't like talk to each other. They had to leave or XYZ. It felt like, yeah, we need to talk through things, but at the end of the day, we'll still be together. And I think that's where I saw some growth, and that it was just like, this isn't a life or death situation that we need to resolve at this second right now, right? And I think that they brought everything to the level of, this is life or death. Are we going to end up together? Is this going to be... And I feel like I appreciated that even though they ended the night on an awkward moment, that they didn't... that it wasn't this huge blow up from them. And it wasn't this whole, like, straight to, you don't understand me and you don't support me and XYZ. Yeah. Like, it was just, all right, great, okay, let's go to sleep. And obviously they're gonna have some opportunities to talk about it in the next episode. We'll get to predictions shortly, but I think from what I saw, they're on the steps to growth, and like you said, I hope that they don't let these things fester like they would have in the past, where they would have these disagreements, and then maybe let it fester and have some resentment. But I don't think that I got resentment from the end of that scene.
No, and I felt like they were just on ease, so they're just like, okay, well, good night, we'll talk about it in the morning or something like that. Like,
yeah, exactly. So that's what you got from them. And That was sort of the end of the episode. Thanks for listening to our review.